Our next session is Community Academic Partnerships to Improve Systems of Care with the Participation of Individuals Experiencing Homelessness, Serious Mental Illness, and Chronic Physical Disease. Our presenter today is Laura Weinstein, but I believe with a team of presenters. Laura Carson Weinstein is a family doctor, researcher, and educator in the Department of Family and Community Medicine at Thomas Jefferson University in Philadelphia. Her clinical and research interests center on improving systems of integrated medical and behavioral health care in partnership with individuals with experiences of chronic homelessness and serious mental illness and the organizations that serve them. She is the co-founder of the Project Home in St. Elizabeth's Health Center and the medical director of Pathways to Housing PA. Project Home and Pathways to Housing PA are nationally recognized nonprofits that are working to end homelessness in Philadelphia.
Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for coming and for giving us the opportunity to come down from Philadelphia with our whole team and also to join with my colleagues across the country that we've been working together with over the past two and a half years. It's really exciting. Let me see if I can do this. No? Nice. Okay. I got it. Lots of conflicts, lots of interest, but no conflicts of interest. We'll be talking about our program of integrated medical care in our Housing First organization, which has been made possible by the Community Academic Partnership that we'll tell you a little bit more about. We'll also briefly touch on our health status monitoring program as well as our chronic illness screening program. And then finally, last but not least, we will wrap it up with our community-based participatory research program. And just to give you a sense of how dedicated and chaotic and participatory we are going to do this with 7 people, 15 minutes, no problem. We practice. So just to give you an overview of Pathways to Housing PA, Pathways to Housing Philadelphia, based on the belief that housing is a human right, the Housing First model was pioneered by Dr. Samson Barris, the founder of Pathways to Housing in New York City. Housing First ends homelessness for people with serious mental illness by offering immediate access to permanent supportive housing and intensive community support. And we have our intensive community support team representatives here, Rebecca, our team nurse, Bryn, one of the team leaders, and Aquia, community integration coordinator. Based on the belief that both housing and healthcare are human rights, Pathways to Housing Philadelphia has expanded the model to offer immediate access to both permanent supportive housing and fully integrated high-quality health, primary and behavioral healthcare. So in Philadelphia, we like to think that we're working to end both homelessness and medical homelessness. It's a little bit of a joke. Again, following the model of Dr. Simbaris, our clinical models are backed by rigorous ongoing health services research, epidemiological monitoring, and quality assurance of care that we've learned from our colleagues at the Institute for Healthcare Improvement and Common Ground and all their rapid cycle improvement programs we have embraced and put into place on a daily basis. But just as critically is our complementary community-based participatory research programs, which assure relevance of our programs for the populations we're working with. This is my last slide, a brief overview of our community academic partnership. So just to review, Pathways Housing First model is immediate access to permanent, independent, scattered site housing throughout Philadelphia, plus a multidisciplinary assertive community treatment team to support people in community integration, recovery, and reclaiming their lives. I'm fortunate to work at a university that was very willing to partner with Pathways to Housing, and over the past 2.5 to 3 years, I'll just briefly review some of the services we now partner in. We have embedded on-site primary care in our Housing First organization. We have direct and immediate access to a free, low-demand transitional primary care setting. We have direct specialty referral, whether they want it or not. No, the specialists have been great. We have care transition coordination between hospitals, both medical and psychiatric. And finally, we have a program of health professional education. All those come together to form our, wait for it, integrated care team. And Abby's going to tell us a little bit about the partnership.
Good morning. I'm happy to be here today to talk about this as a successful example of a partnership between an academic institution of Thomas Jefferson University and the community-based organization of Pathways to Housing. It's a reciprocal relationship. The organization gets trainees, students to come on community health rotations and practicums. Through this, they get personnel to help the staff in providing services, and they get support for research and evaluation activities. It also creates a next generation of advocates to advocate for the organization and the clients and the issues that they care about. These students that come from Jefferson are residents, medical students, nursing students, and public health students. They get an education that's both didactic and also experiential. They improve their skills, and they get some insight to the experiences of the clients that they serve. These partnerships are often started through the hard work of dedicated faculty members and through the overwhelming interest of the students that often request to have practicums like this. And another part of this partnership with the academic institution is to have to be able to disseminate our information, our findings, our challenges, our successes in publications and in presentations at conferences like this. So we're happy to have here one of our medical students who did the first research and internship over the summer.
Hi. So my project basically was to figure out what medical problems existed in the population of the consumers we were serving. So the first column here shows the entire Pathways to Housing population. And the second subgroup is just the clients who are receiving primary care and psychiatric services. Overall, you can see there's a very high rate of chronic diseases in the populations, in the most part similar to the urban population of Philadelphia. But notably, there's very high rates of obesity, and which is interesting because of recent homelessness, possibly due to food insecurity, and also significantly higher rates of tobacco usage, which is a huge area for possible intervention.
And I just want to thank Jonelle for taking a break from her internal medicine rotation to come back and talk about her research, which was really wonderful. I should also point out with the two columns, based on the housing first value of consumer choice, folks can choose to be part of our integrated healthcare services and receive direct primary care on site, but they certainly don't have to. They can receive care in the community, but we do feel like we need to take responsibility for the health of our population. So we work to coordinate care, we offer on-site vaccines, we offer all kinds of any kind of communication that we can help with, whether or not folks are receiving direct individual care within our program. Once we got a handle of the diseases in our population, we had a sense that, you know, we were probably missing some and folks were probably unaware of some of their diseases. So we used the National Association of State Mental Health Program Directors recommendations for screening for people with serious mental illness. So again, Jonelle is going to talk about our efforts just to get baseline levels of how we were doing with screening, basically from the keystone of our health program, which is our nurses. So
after gathering the data about what problems existed, the second part of my project was to figure out sort of what to measure to see how we could figure out our successes in this program. So this is what we initially had at baseline before implementing the model of healthcare that we are currently doing. As you can tell, there's very good rates for the indicators that did not require a trip to the lab. So, for instance, blood pressures, BMIs, and I guess personal history and family histories, things that we could talk to the patient, to the consumers about when they were on site. Unfortunately, the things that require trips to the lab were not as successful, and so it helped us target gaps in screening, which we're moving towards checking possibly on site. So that includes fasting blood glucose, HbA1c's, and we're considering purchasing a point of care cholesterol checker.
Thank you very much. All right, I think we're doing all right for time, and I'm thrilled to now bring up four consumers from Pathways to Housing that are going to talk about our two complementary community-based participatory research programs. And if you like learning about these, we're doing a poster at 12:30 at the mental health section, so you can come and talk a little bit more about that. But at this point, I'm going to turn it over to Cornelius and James to talk about our first study.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you for coming. Thank you for welcoming us, too. I've been a client of Pathways for a little over 3 years, and about 2 years ago, we started a research group to see how we handle our healthcare today compared to how we were handling our healthcare when we were on the streets. I can say for myself, my primary care physician was the emergency room. And 1 year, I was in the emergency room 9 times. I was in the crisis center like 4 times. In the years that I've been in Pathways now for 3 years. I've only been in a crisis center 1 time. I've never been back to the emergency room. I've changed my whole healthcare. I'm under the umbrella of Jefferson Hospital now. I used to be in a clinic system. So today I can say for a fact that I make my appointments. That's the big thing for me. I go to all my doctor's appointments. I take my meds. For many years I had unchecked mental illness where I wasn't taking any medicine at all. For a few different reasons. One, I couldn't afford it. Or two, I was on the streets and it was going to get stolen anyway. So my health has, I have a lot of chronic illnesses and all myself too. And I don't use, the one thing about Pathways, you know, I was told I don't have to use their systems. Now I have my own mental health people. I am under Jefferson's primary now, but I will say that if I have complications, I can go to Rebecca or some of the people with Pathways and they'll see anyway. So, my health is very important to me today. Like I said, I haven't been to the emergency room. I haven't been to a crisis center in years, and that's the best thing I can say. So,
that's great.
Thank you.
Thanks. And James is going to talk a little bit more about the findings of our initial research study, which was very broad. How do people with Pathways make healthcare decisions?
Hi. One of the things that we found with everyone involved in the PAR was that while we were on the streets, you know, you dealt with your health concerns based out of necessity and survival. Once trust was built as a result of coming into the Pathways to Housing program, a lot of people then were able to trust Pathways to be involved in the integrated healthcare, which I myself am a part of. The part with the transition to housing is that psychologically, that part of the transition cannot be measured. As a result of this, our new challenge is once you were housed, you know, generally your income begins to grow, and there are certain dynamics that we have no knowledge about involving resources and the limitations that they place on the healthcare that one could receive. From there, we then moved on to, I guess, the way to phrase it was when we began to realize that as part of this research, it would help others in the near future. There was like a greater sense of life and exuberance within our group. And it's a part of escapism, which a lot of us have dealt with. It's easier to fix your problems than my own. Thank you.
That's a great segue to our second study. Because we like to think that we use... We use a complementary model of getting the data, getting the quantitative data, and bringing it back to the consumers and saying, what should we do about this? So we have this data of kind of, we're identifying rising rates of chronic disease. And as James said, with that first study, we learned a lot. We looked outward. We told people. We made a video. And we talked about the Pathways program. The second study, we took it inward. We realized there were high rates of chronic disease and folks were coming in off the streets, and we wanted to see how would it work best to give people the skills to self-manage their chronic disease in their new apartments. So we took a standard chronic disease self-management program out of Stanford. Folks have probably heard about it. It's a nationally recognized evidence-based program. And we literally plopped it down into Pathways just because it was available. We had very nice folks from a senior center that could run the program. And we had these wonderful consumers who are now critical agents and able to tell us a little bit about what works and what doesn't work with programs such as these. So the research was not to do the Stanford program, but to do a program and see how it worked and let these folks tell us what was good and bad about it. One thing we did find that was interesting and helpful is that the Stanford Chronic Disease Self-Management Program has a very concrete action planning process, and that also complements the work that the staff does with consumers in terms of action plans. So Karen's going to tell us a little bit about that.
Hi. I guess it doesn't matter if there's like one person or 100. It's never easy to talk. But I'm Karen, and I'm a grateful consumer of Pathways to Housing. I wouldn't be here today if it weren't for Pathways, probably. My addiction led into a whole bunch of other things, but a chronic illness for me I did not realize was insomnia. And the action step part of the chronic illness research was a good point for me, because I would put off doing something when I didn't feel like it, or just because I didn't feel like it, or because I had insomnia and I couldn't sleep and I just had no energy the next day. But if I made a plan on a Monday for Friday, by the time I got to Wednesday, I knew I had to make the call to make the appointment to get the thing that I wanted to have done. And Thursday, I know I had to realize I have to do this either way. So if I took the action step to do that, by the time Friday came around, I was able to check off that box. It was like a natural high. Thank you.
And finally, I mentioned the idea of critical agency and of coming together. We had a really wonderful experience with the first group, and but we noticed something. It was very obvious. It was 11 men and one woman. So we felt very strongly that we wanted to reach out more to the women consumers in the program, and our second chronic disease self-management pilot program was a group of women, and Carolyn's going to tell us a little bit about that community building process.
Good morning. My name is Carolyn Armour. I've been a Pathway client now for 3 years. I ignored my health also, running to ER as the gentleman spoke about. But my problem, when I came after I got my housing, I was still ignoring my health. It was the same addictive behaviors. And my awareness came when Dr. Laura came with the group. And I realized that I had to be more consistent with keeping my appointments and to basically get out of the same frame of mind. That's it. Thank you.
All right. So I think, we'll take questions at the end. We do want to thank all the client staff and leadership at Pathways to Housing that let us take this great trip down to D.C. on the train. Our funders, the Study to Recovery, the Center to Study Recovery and Social Context funds our community-based participatory research studies, our department, the Center for Urban Health, and Center in the Park. And contents of this presentation do not represent official views of HRSA or NIMH. Thank you.